be thankful. That should be the whole essence of our character. To be thankful for what God has given to us by way of His Son. And actually, you know, if you look at the Old Testament meaning and the New Testament meaning, it's quite interesting what those words mean. In the Old Testament word, and I'm not sure what the Hebrew word is, it doesn't matter, but it's the idea of the lifting up of hands. So, you know, our Pentecostal brethren aren't too far off the mark. Lifting up of hands in the giving of thanks. The New Testament, the word is Eucharistio. Probably we get the word Eucharist from. And so it's related to the emblems that are taken on the Lord's Day in the giving of thanks. And that really is the whole highlight of, at least of my experience anyway, in the giving of thanks. When I can come with God's people and give thanks to God for His Son. That's the highlight of my week. But the subject that I want to speak on, really, it can link into it too, is the subject of stress. A lot of us have got pretty stressful lives, don't we? I want to just talk a little bit about stress, where stress comes from, and maybe give you some ideas on how to relieve some of the stress in your life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now let's look at another verse in Psalm 75. You're going to be wondering, how in the world is he going to link these up? You'll have to kind of wait till the end to sort of maybe see the connection. Psalm 75 and verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Very important concept, idea to get a hold of. Promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It's the Lord that puts one down and sets another up. One more verse, Romans 8 and 37. Verse 36 says, as it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Stress. By the way, I'm going to give you a quick little diet that you might want to try to relieve stress. For breakfast, have yourself half a grapefruit, piece of whole wheat toast, 8 ounces of skim milk. Sounds pretty good. Really. Lunch, 4 ounces of lean broiled chicken breast, cup of steamed zucchini, one Oreo cookie, and herbal tea. And you'll see as the day progresses what happens to the stress. Mid-afternoon snack, the rest of the package of Oreos. Quart of Rocky Road ice cream, a jar of hot fudge dip, sundae, whatever you call it. Supper time, 2 loaves of garlic bread, large pepperoni and mushroom pizza, large pitcher of root beer, 3 Milky Way chocolate bars, and an entire frozen cheesecake eaten from the freezer. So, you know, we start out our day with good intentions, don't we? We want to reduce the stress in our lives because there's so much coming at us in the world that we live in the workplace. Drive on the Toronto highways and man, that's enough stress to send anybody crazy. And so we want to start our day, we're going to reduce the stress. And we have good intentions, but by the end of the day, like the diet, we've just totally blown it and we're as stressed out as can be. And I find in my own life there's so It sometimes doesn't take much to get me stressed out. Just ask my wife and my boys. But stress is inevitable in every person's life. And it seems to me, as I've observed it in my life and in others' lives, when the stress builds up in our lives, the negative stress, the bad stress, it can lead to all kinds of physical ailments. A lot of people have back problems. A lot of people have stomach problems, internal problems, sore shoulders, bad legs, bad knees. I'm convinced that a lot of that is stress related. I've had experiences in my life where I've been stressed out to the max. And one case in particular, when my back was just about finished, I couldn't hardly move. And it was because I was stressed out. I took that stress to the Lord, and I left it with Him. And you can ask my wife about it. Within the day, the back pain was gone. The stress gets into the tissues, and it just does all kinds of weird and wonderful things. We get stressed out. The Apostle Paul in Philippians says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The humanist says, "I can do all things." But the believer says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And if we can get a focus on the latter part of the verse, that it is through Christ that we can do all things, then the stress level goes down. Our own efforts are not a part of it. We've committed it to God, and it will be fulfilled. It'll work itself out. I want to take a look at a couple of things, three things in particular, in relation to stress. Where this stress comes from? Actually, four things. Three are a negative and one is a positive. The three negative areas that we can get ourselves totally stressed out about are these. In relation to possessions, in relation to people, and in relation to performance. Possessions, people, and performance. The expectations that are there in relation to possessions. Take a look at your own life and just take a look at the possessions that you've got. Do you ever find yourself putting yourself under a lot of unnecessary stress just trying to get more? We're living in a more society. And it seems that there is no satisfaction found with what we have. And that brings in the subject of thankfulness. We really aren't satisfied just to sit down and say, "Thank you, Lord, for everything you have given me. All the physical possessions that I have. The temporal possessions that I have. The house, the car, whatever it might be." But you know, we live in a more society, and it seems that once we reach one plateau, we're ready to move on to the next one no matter what the cost. For example, let me give you a few little examples that maybe you can relate to. Do you remember that little apartment you started out in? I remember the little apartment Carol and I started out in, a little two-bedroom apartment upstairs, no air conditioning. Man, it was hot. And cost us $150 a month. You say, "You crazy. You should have stayed there and you could have banked a whole pile full of money." 6 months after, we moved into a house. Well, the house, you know, it was a fair-sized house. It was a decent dwelling. But you know, we moved from that house to a more expensive house, and each house that we've possessed has been a little more expensive. More. And, just caught myself yesterday talking about a house that sold across the street for a price that I thought was fairly reasonable, but it was more expensive than the one I have. And I was thinking, you know, if I'd have known about it, I probably would have put an offer on it. more. We always want to get more, and so we get ourselves stressed out with possessions. You know, it's not wrong to have possessions. It's not wrong to have things. But I wrote something down here that I read in a book that I find is quite interesting. Life's goodies are truly good when God provides them in His way and in His time. They are enslaving when we demand them and even expect them. So possessions can cause a whole lot of unnecessary, undue stress. The second one has to do with people. The expectations that we have of each other. You know, that goes into all kinds of different relationships. I was thinking about the marriage relationship. The husband and wife, they come into some pretty heavy-duty stress when the one doesn't meet the expectations of the other. And you know, that cute little pudgy stomach that you started out with and she thought was so cute and cuddly has now become an unwanted spare tire, and she's giving you gift certificates to the gym. That nice little few little signs of gray hair that made you look so distinguished, she's now giving you bottles of Clairol to get rid of it. So, you know, our expectations change with each other. But that, you know, that's just a small one, a little bit of humor, that one. I'm thinking about the assembly as well. Sometimes in the assembly, there's a lot of unnecessary, undue stress because our expectations of what others should be are higher than what they really should be. We have a list of expectations of what other believers should be. And you know, I'm going to give you an example of this. I want you to think about it. When you came in this morning and sat down in the circle and others came in, what were your thoughts of the other believers as they came in and took their place? Were you pointing a critical finger at them? Were you saying, why is she wearing that hat today? Why is he dressed like that? Why is he here today? Why is she here today? And you can dwell on the negative, and your expectations of that person, man, it will cause you so much stress, and you lose out on the whole value and importance of the breaking of bread. Rather, let me challenge you for next Lord's Day. When you come and take your place, when that brother or sister comes in that you seem to have a secret fault with, why don't you think about something positive? Something good about that brother. Something good about that sister. Am I ever glad that sister has taken that interest in the Sunday school class? Am I ever glad that brother has taken an interest in that young man who needs help? Or whatever the case might be, you might know something for which you can give thanks. And the whole stress of the people expectation is gone. Another area of expectation that we really blow out of proportion is the expectations that we have of our own children as parents. You know, I remember before the boys were born and people would say, do you want a boy or do you want a girl? And I'd catch myself saying, I just want a healthy child. I just want a healthy baby. And you know, as soon as that son was born, man, we wanted to turn him into a super child. Why? Our expectations of, we've got our healthy child. We want more. We want a super child that's going to go to university and become a doctor. Going to go and be a lawyer. Going to climb the ladder of life. Expectations in people can cause us to have unnecessary stress in our lives. The third one is performance. How well do we perform in life? Oftentimes we can be really hard and critical on ourselves that we are not performing the way we should. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's a real spot checker for us to improve ourselves, to become maybe better Christians, maybe to be a better person in the workplace. We need to do that, but we have to be careful. I can think of two men who are in this meeting today, and I'll tell you who they are. The two brother-in-laws that I have. So that just kind of let the hat out of the bag. I am impressed with those two men in this respect, that they are happy with who they are. And they don't have any extra undue expectations about performance in life. They're happy with who they are, they're comfortable with who they are, and before God, they're happy with that. I wish I had that. Because I find my expectations of myself sometimes cause me a whole lot of undue stress, and I don't get any performance out of myself that I should have. That's really what the stress level does. It makes us ineffective, and we lose ground and we lose time, valuable time that we could spend for God. And oftentimes we take these three things, possessions and people and performance, and we try and validate ourselves according to those three things. We try and make ourselves to be important because of those three things. But I said there were three negative, and there's one positive. And I want to talk a bit about the positive. We read it in Psalm 75 about promotion, not coming from the north or the south or the east or the west, but it comes from God. The true thing that validates me as a believer and validates you as a Christian is God. The Apostle Paul, in our first verse that we read, said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If we could just grab onto that and take that home with us, through Christ, then, and let that validate us. Let that be the validating factor of our lives. Don't let possessions do it. Don't let other people do it, because other people will ruin it. And don't let our performance at work, our performance in our marriage, our performance in the assembly. I'll tell you one more thing about performance that we need to be careful of. And I have to examine it my own self. I think that sometimes the message that I preach is the validating factor of my performance, and that's not true. What validates whether my message is of value and benefit to God is that little word, through Christ. If it doesn't come through Christ or through God, then it's a waste of time. And if it doesn't affect you in that way, then it's a waste of time. True validation, true expectations that come from God. And we often struggle with who we are, and we forget that without God, apart from God, we are absolutely nothing. But when we have God in our lives, we have true validation, true character validation, really something far more than we ever had before God saved us. You know something, when I look at the subject of stress, we talked about possessions, people, and performance, but there is also a good stress, and that is stress that comes from God. You say, does God send stress? Of course he does. He sends stress in the form of a trial, in the form of a particular difficulty. And there are really two ways I see that God does that. He will either send it himself, or he will allow it from another source. In the allowing it from another source, let me cite two examples in Scripture. You remember Job, the story of Job. And God and Satan were having the conversation. And Satan said, you touch Job's life, basically, and he's going to curse you and he's going to fall apart. And God allowed Job to touch the life of... He allowed Job to come in and touch the things around about him. But God said, don't touch the man. And so Job, through that experience, he came through like gold tried in the fire. And the second experience that he had, God, I believe, allowed Satan to touch Job, and Job broke out in the boils, and in the situation that he had to sit in the ashes and sackcloth, scrape himself with the broken pieces of pottery. God sent that, God allowed that stress in Job's life. The other one that I was thinking about was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was talking about having received a thorn in the flesh. He calls it a messenger of Satan. That's another allowance that God has allowed in the life of the Apostle Paul. And sometimes we go through those and they are not pleasant. God allows trials. God allows difficulties to come into our lives. And sometimes God sends them himself. And every one of us has been through a trial or difficulty, I'm sure. And if you haven't, get ready, because one is probably on the way. I don't mean that to scare you or to cause you to worry, but just be aware of it. Stress comes from God. Why does God allow that? Well, let me give you a few little pictures of things in nature that might help us to understand it. Why does God allow stress in our lives? Well, you take that piece of coal. If the heat and the pressure isn't on it, you don't have a diamond, do you? And you take the little oyster, and if it didn't get that grain of sand inside it, and the discomfort of that grain of sand and the workings of the oyster, when you opened it up, you would have no pearl. The fruit tree. If you didn't prune the fruit tree and fertilize it and put it under a little bit of stress, you wouldn't have the bounty of fruit, would you? And that's why I believe God allows trials into our lives. So that in us might be produced that precious gem, that diamond, that pearl, that tree that bears a lot of fruit. I wonder how we are at fruit bearing. You say, well, what's that all about? Fruit bearing is the results from that tree. That tree has come under the hand of God, and God has worked with that tree, and that tree has produced fruits. And in our lives, when we come under the hand of God, and God works with us and moves through us, he produces in us fruit. Likeness to the tree, an apple coming from the apple tree, a pear coming from the pear tree, a Christian coming from God. And so the fruits in our lives, read Ephesians, you'll learn about them. The fruits of the Spirit, those are the likenesses to Christ that God likes to see in us because of the stress that he puts us under. Well, we can do some different things. How can we reduce some of the stress in our lives? We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Christ, through him that loved us. We can do two things. Have you ever heard of not necessarily a Christian. Have you ever heard of anybody? You ask them, how you doing? Well, I'm coping. We can cope. Or, like this verse says, we can be more than conquerors. We can either cope or we can conquer. I'm glad he's given us that option. To cope, I've written it down here, to cope is to tell God how big my trial is. Oh God, I've got such a big trial. To conquer is to tell my trial how big God is. You see the difference? I can look at God and say, I've got such a big trial, such a big burden, and I can tell God all about my big trial. Nothing wrong with that. Or I can look at my trial and say, listen, I've got a God that's bigger than you. It was Corrie Ten Boom's sister, Bessie, as she lay dying in the concentration camp, and her sister was at her side. She looked at her sister, and this is what she said. Tell them, tell the people, that there is no pit so deep, but that God's love is deeper still. Wonderful words. Our stress can be eliminated, can be lessened, if we only put our trust in the God who loves us, in the God who cares for us, the God who sometimes sends stress our way, sends difficulties and trials our way, and He only does it to improve us, to make us better, to make us more dependent on Him. I've written something else down here. If stress's storms cause me to search for validation in things and people, there's failure. If stress's storms cause me to hunger for His peace, then my ship will have successfully blown into the harbor of His peace. You know, we've got all this stress and all of this turmoil and trouble in our lives, and we long for peace. We long for quietness. We long to be at the feet of the shepherd who loves us and cares for us. We can be there. We can rest it all with Him. We can cope, or we can conquer. Well, these are a few things that I've enjoyed about the subject of stress. Not that I enjoy stress. I can't say that I do. But it's inevitable. And I know that this week, because I've spoken on it, I'm probably going to be hit with a double whammy. So pray for me. I'll be thinking about you too. Because that's often how God works. When we speak on something, often He puts us to the trial and to the test. So I trust that this week you might remember that in the stressful times of the week, when things just don't seem to be going right, or maybe we're just bogging ourselves down with all the unnecessary things, get rid of them and focus on Him, that our lives might be right with Him, and we might have peace, and we might enjoy the peace of God. We might enjoy the God of peace. I trust it'll be a blessing to us. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for Your love and care to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to save us. We acknowledge before Thee that we often bring unnecessary stress into our lives, and we also acknowledge that sometimes it comes from Thee. And so we pray that we might have the discretion to know which is which, and that we might be able to lay aside the things that so easily beset us and run with patience the course that is set before us. Help us to lean upon Him who loved us and washed us from our sins, and help us to have peace within our souls, that we might emanate that peace to those who are lost and without it, that they might want to come to know Him who is the God of peace and the Prince of Peace. Bless us now, we pray, as we go to our homes, that we might have safety along the roads in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.